Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Funeral plans being set for former President Jimmy Carter. The state funeral is January 9th at National Cathedral in Washington. It will also be a national day of mourning. Update on the deadly explosive South Korean jetliner crash. In South Korea, ABC's Britt Clement.
They're looking at the black boxes, although they were partially damaged. We do know that it could take weeks before we get any kind of result on that. There will be some time, and it is an agonizing wait for the relatives. A lot of frustration over what exactly went wrong, and they will be demanding answers very soon.
179 people killed. The World Health Organization is marking 5 years since the first notice of cases of viral pneumonia in Wuhan, China. It became COVID-19. The WHO continues to call on China to share data and access so health and medical experts can understand how COVID started. These 5 years, over 1.2 million Americans died from it. This is ABC News. On New Year's Day, the world's population will be 8.09 billion. According to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, the global population increased by more than 71 million people this year. In January 2025, 4.2 births and 2 deaths are expected worldwide every second. NBA star Luka Doncic is the latest pro athlete victimized by burglars.
Dallas Mavericks point guard Luka Doncic's home was broken into Friday during his team's road trip. Burglars allegedly taking jewelry valued at $30,000. The latest burglary comes on the heels of other high-profile homes targeted. In October, Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce also targeted after a Monday night football kickoff. Thieves stealing more than $20,000 in cash.
ABC's Allison Kosick. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Game Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Raymond Newbert. A Milwaukee crime is being connected to a homicide from Kentucky. Police in Kentucky allege 23-year-old Roosevelt Davis of Milwaukee forced his way into a home on Friday morning and shot two women. One of those victims was Davis' girlfriend, and she died. Davis has been taken into custody after being found behind the wheel of a car connected to that shooting. Court documents say Davis told police that he broke into a Milwaukee credit union on Christmas Day and used that money to buy two guns and drove to Kentucky for the explicit purpose of killing the victims. UW Health is being recognized by the Department of Workforce Development for supporting veterans. Tomorrow is Ohlone.
UW Health is recognized as a Vets Ready employer and was awarded a gold certification in the large-sized business category. UW Health initiated participation in the Wisconsin Military Medics and Corpsmen program. UW Health also temporarily waives the credential and license requirements for eligible military members so they can work in civilian healthcare roles while getting additional medical licenses. UW Health also supports their employees who still serve in the military and those who have retired or separated from military service with a resource group.
Tomorrow is New Year's Eve, and it is the most common day for drunk driving across the country. You're being reminded to make responsible choices. Katie Jensen from Gunderson Health Systems says more than 10,000 people are killed every year in the United States by alcohol-impaired drivers.
Really making that one choice could affect not only your own family, but other people's families as well, especially if you're going to get behind the wheel and you've been drinking or you've been doing other substances that would impact your concentration and focus.
Make sure you have a designated driver or are taking a rideshare back from your New Year's Eve party. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time, lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering, and high temperatures today reaching the mid-30s. With calm winds becoming a bit feisty tonight, temperatures still slide below freezing to the upper 20s, and for tomorrow, hit the low 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
The markets were unable to hold on to gains from this morning. Well, I mean, mostly. Like, soybeans and wheat did close, air quotes, higher. But most of the markets we cover gave back what they gained early in the session. Is this an aberration? A fluke? Or are we in for more price pressure? We'll ask my guest today on AgriTalk. Live from the final Lorna Doone cookie of a day in 2024 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, I will chat with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. Later, Carrie Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And hey, look at this. Directly following the news, perspective from Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson playing the role of Chip Flory today. Thanks for being here with us. I'm behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Chip's stead. Don't worry about it. He's fine. And it turns out the Cyclones did win, so it wasn't a wasted day off. He's traveling back now. He'll be back tomorrow to help us finish out the year. Okay, so we have this show, and then we have the AM show tomorrow, and then we have the afternoon show tomorrow, and then... AgriTalk 2024 is done. How did that happen? That's coming right up here. In this sort of holiday season, and I don't know, I guess I would need somebody smarter than me, more observant, to tell me when it started, but the low volume trade deal has kind of been a thing that we've talked about quite a bit here during the Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's season. It's like, I don't even want to say holiday season anymore, you know? Like, now you got to name them all one by one. Anyway, low volume trade. We're going to talk about that. And just see what impact it has had on today's trade, because this morning we were so hopeful. I mean, we had, if I'm remembering right, if it was today, we had wheat up double digits. We had soybeans up double digits. Corn was higher. The entire livestock complex was higher. The stock market was lower, which remains the case here in the afternoon. But everything that was gained, almost, except for a few cents here or there, was given back throughout today's session. And I just don't get it. It looked really good when we started this morning. A couple of different people will ask about during the show here. We'll pose that question first to Todd Bubba Horwitz and then to my guest Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. I'm very excited to talk to Allison. I know she's got a lot on her mind. We're going to try and fit it all in, and we'll start with today's news, where a strong U.S. dollar index amid technical headwinds were too much for wheat futures to overcome today. Russia's state weather agency says conditions for winter wheat crops there will likely decline, as unusually warm weather and a surplus of water causes sprouts to continue to grow during the winter rather than slipping into dormancy. Russia's tax on wheat exports will reportedly decline. The export tax still is up 379% since mid-September as Russia's ag ministry tries to slow shipments. March SRW futures made a run at initial resistance today, but were unable to hold on to those gains through the close. March HRW wheat futures 1¼ cents higher at 5.55¾. March SRW futures gained 1¾ cents to 5.48¼. Still waiting on spring wheat to settle here. At last report, March spring wheat at 5.93¼. That's off 2 cents on the day. Now, a little bit higher in both the hard red and soft red winter wheats here. Maybe we call that a good day anyway. I'm not sure. We'll ask our guests as they file through. Corn futures turned lower after extending to a fresh for the move high in morning trade. See, it was going so well. USDA reported corn export inspections of 878,000 metric tons, down 268,000 from the previous week, and near the low end of pre-report trade expectations. Argentine farmers are expected to plant 6.6 million hectares of corn this year. That, according to the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, up 300,000 hectares from its prior forecast. March corn futures challenged resistance at 4.58 this morning before weakening and falling below initial support at 4.52½. March corn futures softened 1¾ cents to 4.52¼. March corn fell 1½ cents to 4.60. July corn futures closed at 4.63¼, down 1¼ cents. So as the winter wheat contracts were able to eke out a cent and a half, cent and three quarters higher, March corn futures, July corn futures, May all went the other direction. Soybean meal futures did their part to urge soybean futures higher this morning, but as corn lost strength, soybeans followed to the downside. USDA reported daily soy oil sales of 23,000 metric tons to India for 24-25. USDA also reported soybean export inspections of 1.57 million metric tons, down about 204,000 metric tons from the previous week, but within pre-report trade guesses. The Buenos Aires Grains Exchange reduced Argentina's soybean planted area 200,000 hectares from its original forecast. March soybean futures once again limited by the 10-day moving average here at home. Currently, while initial support lies at 9.86, that 10-day moving average right around 10 bucks. Jan beans today 2 cents higher, 9.82. March beans also up 2 cents, 9.91¾. July beans closed at 10.15¾. That's up 3¾ cents. And quickly here, March cotton today, 41 points lower at 68.48. On your livestocks, February fat cattle fell 35 cents to 190.30. April cattle down 32½, 193.02½. And Jan feeders gained 25 cents to 261.62½. And finally, February lean hog futures declined 252½ to 81.62½. April hogs down 247½ to 87.05. And with that, let me bring in a very, very special guest here on our Monday afternoon, Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com, buddy. How's it going?
No, I'm Jack Sobel today. Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, Jack, yes. You're enjoying life in Chicago then, are you, Jack?
I just got off the golf course. What's up? Happy New Year.
Off the golf course. I don't know if you know where the exit is to that golf course, Bubba. I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, there's nothing to trade. I mean, the trade is horrible. Certainly, if you're going to play the grain market, you got to be a buyer. You're not going to make as much on selling as you can make on buying right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going up. It just means that there's a much greater chance for a bigger rally than there's a bigger sell-off.
Low volume trade. I know you've pointed out low volume trade and given me a few tutorials on low volume trade. When are we going to shake this, buddy, and get back to biz as usual?
I would think next week or the week after. I think we're going to start to see some action and some activity show up in these markets. I mean, we've been so slow for so long, and I think you can see that the equities are starting to weaken, and some of that new money is going to free up and come into the grain market. I expect the beef to go lower, cattle anyways. I expect hogs to go higher. But certainly, if I'm a farmer, I'm not selling at these prices unless I have to. I'm going to hold, and certainly I'm going to be a buyer for myself because, again, they're just at ridiculously low prices. And with the inflation and what's going on in interest rates, I can't see how much lower they can really go.
Yeah, indeed. Big plans for New Year's, buddy boy?
Yeah, I'll be in bed by 8. I'm going to celebrate Australian New Year's.
Well done, sir. May we all do as well. Todd Bubba Horowitz, Happy New Year, dude. We really appreciate you. You know
Happy
that.
New Year, Davis.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it, man. Have a great one. Happy New Year to everybody.
Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. I've got Allison Thompson from the Money Farm coming up. New year, new trade, Santa Claus rally. What does it all mean?
AgriTalk. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Day one, the hardest.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Chip's stead. Don't get crazy. It's fine. Let's not panic. He'll be back in the morning. He'll know just what to say. I have somebody else who knows just what to say, too. At least I... I hope so anyway, because I don't. I've got Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. Allison, thank you so much for spending some time today with us. Thank you for being on AgriTalk. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today. Happy New Year.
For sure. For sure. Happy New Year to you as well. You know, and I can't get this out of my head when I started thinking about our conversation. When I think about the Money Farm, I think about money trees. And then I think about people being forced to cut down their money trees and cut it into cords of wood and burn it to keep the house warm. I don't know what there is in that there.
Let's not go that far.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good strategy at all.
No. We're trying to make money here at the Money Farm. That's always the goal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And toward that end, we're glad that you're here to help us make some sense out of it. New year coming up right around the corner here, Allison. Bubba's going to celebrate it Australian style, I guess, be in bed by 8 o'clock. But what I'm more interested in, can we please shake the dust off of this holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's season, get some volume going, get some new trade going. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I know holiday trade seems to be what we've been talking about for the last month. And now when we finally see the new year come in, we usually do see some new trade coming on too. So with one day left of 2024, some are happier about that fact than others. Yeah. But I think we're all looking forward to 2025 and what that could possibly bring. You know, going into the end of the year here, it is nice to see a little bit of a rally. We are seeing corn and soybeans at least making some new highs for the move, which is good. But it has a lot of guys questioning too of whether we're going to see that continue into 2025. And I think there's some good points for it. That we could see a sustained move. You know, corn hit a 6-month high on the overnight tonight, and we're well over 20 cents off the recent lows. Soybeans there too. March hit $10 here on the overnight. We're hitting some resistance, but there too, just from the recent low, we're at a 50 cent rally. So these are definitely gains that we should be taking advantage of. I've been really stressing to guys, you know, making sure that you're at least protecting the rally we've gotten. I know I heard you talking with Bubba too, that, you know, these aren't levels that guys are really happy with making sales on, but yeah. I know that some guys are facing that, and it's worth rewarding at 20 cents rally in corn and a 50 cent rally in soybeans. And if you're not comfortable doing that, you got to make sure you have some kind of hedge in place, get some puts on the books going into the new year, especially when everybody's starting to focus on next week's USDA report as well.
Ooh, that's right. Jan 10 is right around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Next Friday.
The thing is, it does seem like we've got some pretty decent, I don't know, I was going to say stealth demand in the corn market, but it's really not even all that stealthy, is it, Allison?
No, they've definitely been running, you know, above last year, and that's been a talking point for quite a while. It's nothing new for the market, but we need to see that continue. And I think that the corn market will sustain a good demand or good follow through here until we get more into South America's crop. And I think right now we're seeing some weather premium build on that as well, specifically for corn. If we're getting into some drier areas of Argentina, I think that might have helped us with our pop here just over the Christmas holiday and now over New Year's as well, is that they are talking drier and that crop is starting to mature. So if they are seeing it dry out, obviously that leads to some concerns of what their production could actually be. And of course, if that drier weather does spread further north and into Brazil, we're talking about their corn or second crop corn as well as being affected. So I think corn definitely has some room here. Soybeans are a little bit of the opposite story. We don't have the demand that we've seen in the corn market. We have seen the USDA maybe start to feel that there might be a little bit more there, but we're really waiting on South America's crop. And right now it's big. So it's really hard to imagine at this point, too, with both corn and soybeans, anything further that could push the market lower. And we've all been talking about these talking points, like you said, for the last couple of months. We need something new. But the fact that all these bearish headlines are already in the market and we're well off the lows, like I just said, 20 cents in corn, 50 cents in beans, you know, how can it get more bearish from here? It can. There's definitely black swans that are out there, but we all hope there are black swans that keep us pushing to the upside as well.
Well, sure, sure. We want somebody else in some other country to have a crop problem, don't we? But it
let
would take
someone else burn.
Right. It would take a heck of a crop problem, though, to soothe the South American big bulging crop coming out of here.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's why we're probably suspecting more of this rally that we're seeing here over the holidays being maybe some short covering or year-end positioning going into the end of the year. That might be part of it as well on why we're getting such a good boost. You know, the funds have been long holders of some big short positions. So if they're taking some profits here, that's probably giving us a little bit of a boost and why we need to be taking advantage of a decent rally. Even though we're not dealing with anything new headlines, it just makes me a little bit leery of how we're going to enter the new year. And January definitely can be a volatile month for soybeans. Like I said, we got that January 10th report next week, but we also have inauguration too. And looking to 2025, I know trade policies and how that's going to work going forward are definitely on everyone's mind.
This might bring us way, way off the page, but you brought up that inauguration. We've been speculating and talking about the Trump trade and all sorts of things like that. The stock market hasn't really taken it all that well. We've just sort of been kind of, you know, dribs and drabs lower in the stock market there. We've, I guess, set some record highs. But at some point, I mean, does inauguration make the equities a little bit more comfortable at least? At least now we've got, you know, a variable crossed off of our list. We've got the inauguration out of the way. Now it's a Trump presidency. Now we move forward.
Yep. Now what's going to happen? And I've taken a lot of questions about the trade and what policy is going to look like. And everybody has such a big fear that we're going to go back to the first term that he held, you know, that we're going to see the same thing follow through. And I don't have a doubt that at some point in the next 4 years, we're going to see some type of a policy change, but we have a 4 year window to do that. And I feel pretty comfortable saying that it's not going to be an exact replica of the last time he was in office. We're going to see something different happen. It may not be immediately in January. And I think there's some, you know, people in the trade right now thinking that we're going to get something in January. And that's not necessarily the case. We have a 4 year window. So when I'm talking with producers and we're looking at prices, I know they're not great now, but we also need to be looking further out too. You need to start protecting 25 crop. You need to start looking at these things and know where your break evens are, because we need to start looking at that, because we don't know when something could hit the market.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there, in your opinion, are there too many operations holding on to corn? Just waiting on something to happen here?
Well, yeah, there's obviously a lot of corn out there this year. Everybody was pleasantly surprised with corn. Even up here, I mean, we were dry, you know, but the bushels were there too. Yeah. So yes, I think there is a fair bit of corn left, in the countryside that does need to be moved. But, you know, I think guys are getting some opportunities and I think stuff is starting to move. You're seeing some carry in the market. I think guys are taking advantage of that if they're hauling out in the summer. Basis is the only thing that really hasn't moved yet, or given us too much of an opportunity outside of end users, especially up here. Yeah. But that is something we definitely need to be careful of. And with so much stock, we need to be taking advantage of these rallies when they come and make sure you're moving those bushels.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. I don't know if I could be a farmer, Allison, and try and manage this. I'd honestly, because I'm a little bit pessimistic about the next couple of months for the corn markets story. How do you want to see us positioned in here?
Yeah, well, you know, I think corn has a good story behind it. I guess I'm a little bit more friendly to the market than you are.
Okay, but I'm even glad. Yes.
But someone has to be, right? But, you know, we are seeing the bears and the bulls really fight it out. Even like today, in today's session, we saw a 10 cent trading range. We made a new high, but yet we closed nearly on change. The same thing happened in soybeans. So I do think corn does have a very good story behind it. I think demand's going to be there. I think we're going to receive confirmation of continued strong demand as we enter 2025. So I think you need to be watching levels for resistance. And that's what I've been working on with a lot of my clients, is making sure that you have some, if you need to be, move bushels here, make sure you're using some of those resistance levels. You know, 450 is a good one. If guys need to get caught up here, I don't mind making sales, but make sure you're looking at the next ones down the line and have working orders in. Case in point, just the last couple of sessions. Who knows what the next couple of days could do as we enter 2025. Especially when we're hitting highs early in the session or even overnight. So I just want to make sure guys have an outlook and have a plan in place as we're moving into the new year.
Allison Thompson from the Money Farm, there's more that we need to talk about. We need to drill down into the beans and the wheat market as well. And I do want to get your thoughts on the January 10 report coming up next week. Is this going to be a snoozer? What do we usually expect? Come back, everybody. AgriTalk.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 1¼ cents higher, but 5.55¾. March SRW futures gained 1¾ cents to 5.48¼. And hey, there's March spring wheat. Closed at 5.93¾. That one's down 1½ cents. March corn futures softened 1¾ cents to 4.52¼. July corn futures closed at 4.63¼, down 1¼ cent. January soybean futures were 2 cents higher at 9.82. March beans also up 2 cents, 9.91¾. March cotton today was 41 points lower at 68.48. On your livestock's February fat cattle fell 35 cents to 1.90.30. Jan feeders up 25 cents, 2.61.62½. February lean hog futures off 2.52½ to 81.62½. Get more. Try profarmer.com.
I taught for
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit OsseoPlastics.com for more information.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering and high temperatures today reaching the mid-30s. With calm winds becoming a bit feisty tonight, temperatures still slide below freezing to the upper 20s and for tomorrow hit the low 30s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently it's 31 degrees.
Rest on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. I've got Allison Thompson from The Money Farm. Allison, thanks. That was a great segment. As we sort of segue, we talked some beans a little bit, but as we segue from corn into beans, why don't we use that January 10 USDA report as kind of a springboard into the second part of the conversation here. What are your expectations generally? Is this a fireworks report? Is it a snoozer? Help me with the historicals, and then what have you got for us?
Yeah, well, historically, it can be a market-moving report because we do get the final production numbers for 2024, and that includes corn and soybeans. So they'll update production based on data that they have found on whether yields are going to come in where they were, harvested acres, all those things. Will get the final report on that January 10th. So with that, I think a lot of eyes are still going to be on production numbers for this past year. And with soybeans, you know, I work with a lot of guys across the Midwest, and I haven't had too many. I can probably count them on one hand who were really excited about their soybean yields this past year, that they came in above expectations and were above and beyond what they thought. Most guys were happy with APHs or, you know, slightly below, given the finishing weather that we got for the year. So in my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually do see yields come down a bit, in the January 10th report. And that might actually be a surprise to the trade. I know there are a lot of people aren't, or early expectations aren't for much change. But given where I'm at, I'm in a swing anchor area up here in northern Minnesota and eastern North Dakota. But if we account for anything in a lot of what I've heard, I wouldn't be surprised to see both corn and soybeans actually move lower in the report.
Okay. Wow. That's well, that would be a supportive factor, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I threw you for a loop, didn't I?
A little bit, yeah.
but based on what I've heard, though, overall, I think that's kind of what I've been finding, talking with guys, and ultimately that would lower ending stocks. It depends what they do with demand. Demand's always kind of a wild card in USDA reports. We've gotten some friendly USDA reports with some demand news here recently, but we have seen them really. You know, spike up the market initially on the report, but we've really traded out of them really quick. And the 10th report could be the same thing. So I've been just making sure guys going into that January 10th report, we have some orders ahead of the report working on the board, but also making sure we have protection on too, because you never know what the USDA is going to say. And obviously a lot of market traders are going to be eyeing this report. So I expect fireworks either way, no matter what the USDA prints. And producers need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, prepared ahead of time. That's really good. That's first notice day for those January contracts on the soybeans. Does that figure in really at all to maybe something we can strategize around?
Well, first notice date is tomorrow. So anybody who is long really should have been getting out of the market today. And maybe that's why we saw a bit of the bear spreading in today's action as well, or on and off throughout the session. I guess we closed without that being the case. But I think that does give some of the trade just, you know, it just affects what we're doing, especially on spread action going into it. But I think a majority with the volume that we've seen, most of the volume is moved out to those other contracts. March is going to be the one that we're watching now, and we are seeing it want to test that $10 area. So if the USDA doesn't move yields in this report, and they once again kick the can down the road and don't make any changes to demand, does the current picture support $10 beans? And that's what guys need to be looking at. I know $10 isn't that exciting. We are 50 cents though off the low, so we need to be watching that as well. And I think that's a point producers need to be looking at. If South America comes in with bigger than expected production, and they seem to be getting bigger, not smaller, big crops get bigger. We saw that with the US this year. It just makes me think we need to be having some protection in place, given the recent rally we've received.
Okay. Good counsel. Corn and bean acreage coming up in 2025. I wonder if you want to wade into those waters a little bit.
Yeah, I can. It's definitely early, and I've started talking with quite a few producers though about 2025, especially as I've been talking about hedging with that. And guys are just in a toss up. You know, I think a majority of the Corn Belt sticking with their corn and soybean rotations, but I'm kind of up here in an area where we can definitely see acre swing. Definitely depending on what kind of spring weather or spring season we get to, but even just with planning already, I know guys are already throwing out numbers and ideas of what they're going to do. And I guess I'm kind of fitting what a lot of analysts have been talking about and hearing a lot of corn acres this next year. But given current pricing, it definitely, supports the corn going in the ground. Even given that corn and soybean ratio. Obviously, corn's got it hands down for the time being. So over the next couple of months, I'm definitely going to be watching that ratio, because if that ends up being the case, soybeans have to buy acres, and that doesn't necessarily mean that soybeans have to rally. It could mean that corn goes down in price too. And I think that's something often producers forget, is that that ratio can fix itself in a matter of different ways. So we'd all like to see soybeans rally to fix that ratio, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. So I'm just being a little bit cautious as we start looking at acres for next year. But the one that I am probably the most friendly on is actually wheat acres for this coming year. I'm in a big spring wheat area up here, and we had pretty poor, we had an interesting harvest, I'll put it that way. We had quality concerns up here, not a lot of great yields, guys really struggled with it. A lot of feed wheat actually ended up hitting the market instead of some decent protein that we were looking at. Yeah. And man, it's crazy how we lost a really good crop in a matter of a week. So
was it rains at the wrong time? What happened? What was the mechanism?
Yep, we got rains at the wrong time, and we ended up dealing with falling numbers and vom, and there was a lot of issues. So a lot of quality. It was a mess. And I think it really turned it off for guys up here for planting wheat next year. So they are looking for other things in the rotation, whether that's sunflowers or flax or durum or canola even has been a big one that guys have been talking about. So if anything, I have a feeling that we could actually maybe see that help spring wheat out a little bit more. And of course, with spring wheat and wheat exchanges in general being at the bottom end of their trading ranges, it might give it some support here as we go into spring.
Boy, you don't have to look very far out in that spring wheat in the deferreds to get to a six handle, though. I mean, you just go out to the May, you're at 601.5 today.
And even March hit $6 today, so it's definitely a congestion area. Yeah.
Yes. So what do we do with the congestion area?
Well, I'd like to break through it, obviously, but we're having a difficult time doing that. Yeah. And it's really disappointing because we'd had some favorable stories here to start this shortened week. They're talking, you know, winter wheat's getting some bad weather here in the U.S. and Russia as well. Doesn't look like it's going to be very favorable for winter wheat. But winter wheat has 9 lives. It dies 9 and still comes back for a 10th. It's just like a cat. So maybe that didn't affect things too much. But what's really hurting the wheat market in general is the dollar. That thing continues to be very strong. And that goes back to outside market movements and what the Fed's doing and interest rate outlooks. But it does have a very big impact on wheat. But wheat is cheap. In the global landscape here of the global market, our wheat is fairly competitive. And you talk about problems in Russia, who's been the stronghold for wheat supplies on the global market. Mm-hmm. I think there is some movement here that we could see in the near term. And even, right now we're kind of in a lull with, Northern Hemisphere's harvest is complete. So now we're just kind of waiting on the Southern Hemisphere. Right. And Australia could be a big player in that, but I know there's talk of some quality concerns there as well. And if they do, I mean, the U.S. is the next big player for any quality wheat on the global market. And I think that could be our play this year, especially with the EU having issues as well. Like I said, Russia's looking at lower acreage as well. We'll see how their spring, how it turns out in the end. But I think there is some opportunity we could see spring wheat rally here over the winter.
From what I hear, Argentina's cutting wheat right now. Do you have a sense of how it's going, how it looks coming off the field?
Well, from what I've heard, it's they're just starting their harvest, or they're about 20% complete, somewhere in there roughly, at this point. So reports haven't been phenomenal coming out of there or anything too extensive yet, but I'm sure we're going to hear more in the next month as they get into the heart of their crop.
For sure. Okay. This has been terrific, Allison. I want to just open it up. We've got about a minute left. I want you to talk about 2025. Help our farmers to be ready. Help me to be ready. Help us get our heads straight with whatever you think is the most important thing for us to figure out as we go forward into 2025. Allison?
Yeah, no, great question. Well, and I think 2025 is going to see an extension of supply being a top concern for the market, not only domestically, but globally as well. And big supply was really the big headline for 2024, right? We had ample supplies of all grain, and that just tanked our market. And we have seen it start to ease a little bit, especially with improving demand here domestically and exports for our grain. And I think that's going to continue to be a big thing impacting our grain trade as we go into 2025. And with that supply, we're also going to be talking about production here relatively shortly, especially here in the U.S. with spring coming up and what 2025 production does. So with that, I think weather is still going to be a major player. If we, especially going into spring, I know there's a lot of talk between La Nina and El Nino, and I'm not a meteorologist, so I'm not going to get into that. But I think there is definitely going to be some weather market plays as we go forward. Beyond that, obviously, demand's the first one. We need that to continue. Exports, domestic usage, and also trade policy should also be the other one that we need to keep an eye on, and geopolitical tensions. Grains are always hanging in the balance.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, trade policy. Just throw that one in on the end. Just a little fake there. Allison Thompson from the Money Farm, you were wonderful today. Thank you so much for the conversation.
Thanks.
Happy New Year to you.
Me. You as well. Thank you.
Day one.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com. Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-380-9012. 800-380-9012. Again, that's 800-380-9012.
Calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking. January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinic registration today to register.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers
to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and...
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Woo! That was a good conversation with Allison Thompson from The Money Farm. We had Todd Bubba Horwitz before that on a Monday. I mean, could this day get any better? Yes, and it's about to. Tomorrow, we'll have Chip back with guests Mike Steenhoek from the Soy Transportation Coalition. And our own Jim Wiesmeyer, we should probably talk a little politic, I suppose, but we'd also like to get him to just chat with us a little bit about former President Carter and his passing over the weekend. They're 100 years old. Jimmy Carter, rest in peace, Mr. President. On a lighter note, we've got Kerry Artak. Artak Advisory.
Much lighter.
Much lighter, Kerry. Thanks for being here with us. Take us to the corn market, would you, buddy?
Yeah, March corn. I've been mentioning on your show for a few months how the mid and now low 450s remains a big pivot point, really into spring, summer trade. A 452 even is the magic number this week. This is a 14-month channel top on the weekly chart. We tested it a few weeks ago, backed away. We actually closed above it last Friday by a penny. And I really like the 1% margins because they historically have much greater reliability. So what is that, 452 even this week? If we close above it by a 1% margin of 456 half or higher on Friday, we're talking March corn. So March settlement on Friday of 456 half or higher, we enter a buy signal that should, you know, over the next 3 to 5 months, let's just call it by later spring or into spring trade, yield what is now a 3-year channel top at 558 3/4. And it's hard to put it into words, these pictures that I portray in my, newsletters, but 558 3/4 is a 3-year channel top. It is the bear trend resistance over the last 3 years. And we would, or should I should say, rally up to it. It drops into the 520s as we move into April, May. And so it really is more of a 520s objective. And that number changes precisely every week. But if we close it 456 half or higher, we've got a nice rally, I think, through winter into spring as we continue into April, May, then what is now at 558 3/4 and will be in the 520s by May would be the overall objective. where we could actually place an annual high, because keep in mind the 3-year bear trend, the 3-year bear trend remains bearish below 558 and three quarter. It's just that the midterm right now is being tested at 452 even. And if we cannot close above it on Friday, if we close below 452 even on Friday, the sellers remain sort of in control of the market, and 418 half, I think, would likely be tested by the end of February or sooner. That is a level that can contain monthly selling pressures. And if we close below 418 half, look out below, expecting a retest of that August 385 even low within a matter of weeks, and probably even further south into the 340s, unfortunately, as we continue into spring summer activity. On to what I've got, March feeder cattle. March feeder cattle. If you trade feeder cattle or the cattle markets, you know we've been in a nice run since the September low. And that run, that bullish momentum for that run over the last 5-6 months remains intact above 249.15. That's a long-term channel bottom, 5-month channel bottom on the weekly chart. Now, we're not going to see that this week because we're trading around 261 even, but just want to let you know that any sell-offs into the upper 240s, low 250s over the next few weeks should be considered buy opportunities, still in anticipation of a retest, really, of long-term resistance that it's 268.97. And that is a 30-year channel top that we tested a year ago last September. We had a significant sell-off after testing it, and now it looks to me like we're going to retest it again in the coming weeks. 268.97, 30-year channel top, able to contain buying through all of 25, and if settled above at the end of any week, should then yield roughly around 300 even over the following 3 to 5 months. That is also a moving target, but 300 even I think is a good roundup if we were to close above 268.97 in the coming weeks. Now, downside, not going to happen this week, but if, say, by the end of January we do close below what is now 249.15, we've got a good high really through winter activity. And by spring, I would expect a return into the 220s. 227.02 becomes a 3 to 5 month target if we close below 249.15. Finally, Apple stock is the stock pick for the week, symbol APPL. Definitely a large cap, 3.8 trillion market capitalization. But the reason I'm mentioning Apple is because since last June, I've had an objective of a 5-year channel top that was tested last week and held nicely. It's at 260.01 all week long. We're presently trading around 252 half. So we backed away from that. And the reason I'm pointing it out is for those of you who have Apple in your portfolios, unless you're willing to endure downward retracement now into around the 217 to 218 region over the next 2 to 3 months, and potentially all the way back into the lower 180s over the next full year of trade, because that's the significance of this 5-year channel top. 2 to 3 months, 217, 218 in reach. But really, I want to present it on your show as a buy side recommendation that in the event we close above 260.01 at the end of this week, and we just might, and that once again should be by a 1% margin. So if Apple closes Friday at 262.01 or higher, 1% above 260.01, we enter a whole new paradigm for Apple that should play out within 2 to 3 months to around $300 a share, and over the next full year of trade, 344.91 in reach. So closing at 262.01 at the end of the week is a buy signal recommendation for Apple, and I'd see meaningful gains continue to play out through 2025. That's all I got, Davis.
Kerry, real quick, we appreciate you, buddy. Is the stock market a little toppy, due for a correction, or are we just sort of in wait and see, wait for the inauguration mode kind of a thing here?
I've got a buy signal in NASDAQ long term, and the S&P 500, it's not so fast. So it is a mixed bag. I think the market really wants to see the new Trump administration, what they're actually going to do with tariffs, etc. So I don't think we're really going to know for a few months. Until then, high volatility whipsaw activity, I think, will be the norm.
Kerry Artek, ArtacAdvisory.com. You can get a 2-week free trial there. Check out those graphics and visuals that Kerry was talking about. Happiness, prosperity, and success to you, Kerry. You can take them in what order you want, but I wish those for you in 2025, brother. Have a great day.
Thanks, Davis. I appreciate it. Same to you as well. You have a great day.
Absolutely. Kerry Artac, Artac, A-R-T-A-C, advisory. .com. The weather turns cold, 6 to 10 day outlook, cold and wet. What about the next one? 8 to 14 day. Yeah, cold. Oh, and a little drier in the 8 to 14 day. Well, thanks to Allison Thompson from the Money Farm, Bubba, and of course Carrie Artek. Tomorrow, more Chip on AgriTalk.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions. It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob.
Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text. Text BACK to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BACK to 42424. That's BACK to 42424.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Americans remembering the service and legacy of former President Jimmy Carter a day after his death include his niece, Kim Fuller.
That's one of the big legacies he's going to take away from that White House.